chapter 11 once again, and started last Sunday night on the subject of the heroes of the faith, or the elders, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, those elders that obtained a good report. We read first few verses there in chapter 11, and tonight we will continue on as we look this first hero that is mentioned in the Scripture. So Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I think it has disappeared out of my Bible. I have turned both directions and just now found it. Hebrews chapter number 11. And we read the first three verses last Sunday night, just giving sort of an introduction. And then looking at some of the things, the faith, how that the elders, and we sort of started calling them the heroes of the faith. But these elders of the Old Testament that have been listed and are listed in chapter 11 are certainly not just the elders of days gone by, but these men and women are heroes, and they are folks that we can look into their lives and see how that the Lord blessed them and how that God gave them much ability to do the impossible things. But then we find that the Scripture says all things are possible with God. And so tonight we begin and we'll be only in verse number 4. And tonight in verse number 4 of Hebrews chapter 11, this first example of these heroes who did obtain a good report, and this man is by the name of Abel. And the Scripture says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. So this fourth person of the human race, you have Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel. Abel's the fourth person to live upon this earth. The second child of Adam and Eve. When Eve had Cain, she said, I've received a man child from the Lord. And I think she was really anticipating in her heart that he was going to be that one that would bruise the serpent's head. I believe she looked and believed what God told her. And she said, I've received a man-child from the Lord. But it didn't hardly work out the way Eve thought it would in his life, as it many times has not worked out in folks that we thought. Sometimes we look at people and say, my, they have every ability, they have every thing going for them, they have all the facilities and faculty, they have all the tools of being a great servant of the Lord, but it just doesn't seem to work that way. And so it's not according to what we see, but it's according to what's in the heart that makes an individual a servant of God or usable in the things of the Lord. These verses that we have in chapter 11, I think we noted last week, that they are given for an encouragement to the Hebrew Christians of the day of Paul. And as he writes to the Hebrew believers, he encourages them to understand that people from days gone by had lived by faith and could do the work of the Lord, and so it wasn't anything that they couldn't do. And it encourages us also that we can live by faith as they did. These first three that we look at in these verses, you have Abel, you have Enoch, then you have Noah. Those first three are the Old Testament saints that were before the flood, that the example is given to us. That even before the great flood that covered the earth and destroyed the human race other than Noah, they lived. There were some that lived by faith. And that faith delivered them, and thank God for that. And so we find here, in this first instance, a man by the name of Abel, his report here that he obtained a witness that he was righteous. We looked a little bit at Abel and Cain last week in one of the messages. Mentioned it this morning. So we've been dealing with Cain and Abel for the last couple of weeks. And this first elder or this first hero that is mentioned that obtains a good report, it's involving what we believe and what we know of as salvation. And it's very fitting and proper that the first one would be salvation offered, because without that, there's no other good reports. And there's no other testimonies. And so faith begins with a salvation of a soul. And that's where it begins in our heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God, we exercise that faith that God gives to us, and the blessing and the gift of faith that He gives to us. We believe upon the Lord, and He saves us by His mercy and His grace. Now let's look at these things. I don't know how close I'll stay right to this outline and some of the things mentioned, but I want us to look tonight in verse number 4. All throughout the lesson will be verse 4, and then we'll turn back also to the book of Genesis, where the story is given to us in a broader scope as we read in Genesis chapter 4 also. Verse 4 says, "By faith Enoch, and by faith Abel offered unto God." Here tonight we find the very first reference concerning these men is that it is by faith. In the first three verses last week, we gave a definition of faith and looked at some of the aspects of faith. And so here the Holy Spirit directs Paul, I believe, to write concerning this man by the name of Abel, and he obtained this good witness and good testimony concerning his life, that it was through faith. And that little phrase, by faith or through faith, is found over 20 times in this chapter. And so we find this is a faith chapter. It's not just giving some definitions and some things about it, but it tells us about faith. By faith means that there has something happened in our life by a divine revelation from God that we have acted upon, and we've trusted, and we've believed upon His name, and we find that faith is that avenue or that vehicle that God uses to bring us into Himself. I don't know why I can't find my misspelled words when I'm reading this, other than up here. I don't know what number C is. It's supposed to be Abel, but fingers got twisted, I guess. Abel's sacrifice that he made was by divine revelation. Abel knew what he was supposed to do. Now, some people believe that maybe Abel received it as a direct command from God. I personally believe that Abel received his revelation by the teaching of his parents, Adam and Eve, because they had learned firsthand that when a person rebelled against God, and when a person goes against the known will of the Lord, then there has to be a sacrifice to cover that sin. And so when Adam and Eve fell, when they sinned against God, they had to have a sacrifice given in order that it might cover their nakedness. And whichever way, God could have, certainly He could have give a complete revelation to Abel that he might know what kind of offering to give, but I believe he learned it from his parents, because they knew firsthand what it meant for an animal or a sacrifice that had to be made in order to cover their sin. So the premise here of faith is that faith Abel offered. Abel did what he did because he knew it was to be done by faith. Not the works of his hands, not the things around him, but it was to be done believing God, and he offered those things unto God. He didn't offer it to his parents, he didn't offer it to his brother, he offered it to God. And in that, it was an act of worship. And certainly we cannot worship the Lord unless we have faith. We're not going to do much in as far as serving God and worshiping the Lord unless we do it by faith, because faith and worship go hand in hand. You can't worship without faith, and faith will put you in a position where you will worship. And so they're intermingled together, and true Bible faith will lead a person to true Bible worship. A lot of what we hear today is not true Bible worship. A lot of what we hear about today is not worship. Man's worship brings him to the highest level of God's relationship, and it's the faith that God gives him. It's not the works that he does. And so therefore, Abel offered to God an acceptable sacrifice by faith, and the Lord honored that, and the Lord accepted that. I put a quote here by a writer of years gone by, G. Campbell Morgan. Anything you can read by G. Campbell Morgan, you'd be good to read that. All of his books are tremendous, and he makes a statement along this thought. It says, "To come without reverence into the presence of God, imagining we can worship Him through flowers and fruits and other things, is to insult His holiness. Worship demands the approach based upon sacrifice." Even the subject of worship demands there be a sacrifice. And so he makes the statement that to do it any other way insults the holiness of God. And I believe that is true. Trying to build ourselves up and work ourselves up into a way of worship is nothing more than an insult. But when we come to the Lord and we want to worship Him, we worship Him because there was a sacrifice that was made one day. And it's a sacrifice that that Abel not necessarily did, but it's a sacrifice that his pictured or foreshadowed, in that one day there would be that supreme sacrifice of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that offered Himself and gave Himself a ransom. And so if our worship is not by faith, it will be rejected as Cain's offering was rejected there in Genesis chapter number 4. This faith has a price to it. When we have faith, there is a price, and the price of Abel's faith was his own personal sacrifice. His brother killed him because of his faith. And so the sacrifice is the price that had to be paid by Abel. Look in Genesis chapter 4. We'll be turning back there different times. In Genesis chapter number 4 and verse 4, we go back verse 3, "In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering to the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." Verse 5, "But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." Here we find the offering, the sacrifice that was given, is that Abel offered the best that he had. He didn't offer the leftovers. He didn't offer something that was not as good as other things that he had. But the Bible says he gave the first of the flock. He gave the fat. He gave the best. He gave that which was the greatest. And because of his giving, it cost him a high price, and it cost the cost was his own life. And so the price of his faith was the sacrifice that is spoken of here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. He offered a more excellent sacrifice, and then we know that Cain killed him. He became a sacrifice, or he was sacrificed because of his obedience unto the Lord. The cost was physical unto him. And sometimes to us it's physical. It's not all an offering is not always a money or monetary offering. An offering is given to us, or a sacrifice that we have. It's not by accident that God causes offerings. He calls them sacrifices. The offerings that are given, God calls them a sacrifice. And if we give out of a sacrificial heart and an attitude, then we are giving God what we have in order that He might do the work that is prepared to be done. So the price of his faith, it cost him the best that he had. It cost him the first of his flock. It cost him the fat of the flock. It cost him of his own personal being. It cost him his own physical life later. But the price of this faith that he offered was the sacrifice of that flock, or whatever it was that he had. He gave it unto the Lord, and it was a blood sacrifice. And so the premise here is that he offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. He did much better than Cain did. He did what he was taught. I personally believe, and I can't prove this, this is just my own thinking, is that Cain and Abel heard the same message from their parents. Cain heard how that God had killed those animals and sacrificed them. Cain heard that the blood had to be shed. Cain heard the same message that Abel heard. And Cain rejected that. And so when the time of offering came about, the offering that was given here, it was given by faith of Abel. It was something that was living. It was something that was alive. And now, the Bible says here that Abel offered an excellent sacrifice. That's not said of Cain. It's said of Abel, because Abel followed the command, the law that was given to him, the knowledge that he had. And Cain's offering was just of the fruit of the ground. It was the result of his own work. It was a result of what he had put in the ground. The offering here was that, as we mentioned a while ago, he brought this flock, the first of the flock, which was the best. He didn't offer the leftovers. And Cain just brought some fruit from fruit of the land. He brought what was there, and he did it in accordance to an offering that was given. And this offering was rejected, but Abel's offering was accepted. And it was a foreshadow, or is a preview, of the great sacrificial offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blood had to be shed. That has been a foundational truth of the Word of God from the very beginning, that if we're going to have redemption, if we're going to have life, if we're going to have eternity with the Lord, blood has to be shed. It's not just in death, but it's in the shedding of blood that we receive the remission of sin. And so it foreshadowed that sacrificial offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, He was the best that God had to offer. He was His only begotten Son, and He came to this earth and everything perfect, everything well, everything right about Him. So He was the best that could be offered. And He offered Himself freely. And so here in the very first account of creation, and then those few years after that, as these boys grow to be adults, how many years that is, it doesn't tell us for sure here, but we do know that as they were old enough to be tending a flock and tilling a ground, and as they came to the position and the time of offering, we find that one foreshadowed and pointed to the offering of a blood sacrifice, and one just gave the best that he had as far as the ground was concerned. Now we have to understand, I put here, that Cain was not a God denier, nor was he irreligious. He wasn't. He didn't hate God. He was one that just didn't obey God. He came and tried to do what he wanted to do without the blood. And without the blood, we have no remission of sin. And so he tried his own way. He's sort of like a lot of people we know. He's like some folks that we maybe have had contact with, trying to get to heaven their own way, in their own style. They have their own thoughts, and they're going to do all they can do to convince you to follow them, and they're convinced they're right. But so many times it's foreign to the Scripture that we realize and we know that the Lord has taught us in His Word that we are to bring everything to Him, and the offering that we have, if it's without the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if those that are religious are deniers of the Lord, then they are deniers of God. And the Scripture tells us they die without God. So Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. It was not that Cain didn't offer, but it wasn't a sacrifice that was blood, and so therefore Abel's offering, the Bible says here that God had respect unto his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. You know why? One was bloodless, his was bloodless, and did not have the blood applied. And so if we read all of Genesis chapter 4 and the things that are given, you'll find here the attitude of Cain. His attitude was a self-willed attitude. His attitude was one that I'll do it my way and nobody can tell me, and I'm going to go my own direction. But Abel's attitude was one that he followed the revelation that had been given to him, either by divine revelation or given to him by teaching of his parents. The Bible says in verse 4 of Hebrews 11, where we read, that Abel obtained the witness that he was righteous. Now, when did he obtain that witness that he was righteous? When he offered that sacrifice. When he offered the shed blood, when he took that firstling of his flock and he killed that animal and he offered that sacrifice, he obtained, and by the way, that word there, obtained, is the same as in the first part of the chapter where it says the elders obtained a good report. Now, Abel has obtained, he has gained the good report, and he has obtained this message that he is righteous. There's something different about Abel. There's something different about his offering. And by that offering, he obtained the witness that he was righteous. You and I tonight, people know that we're righteous because, not that we say we're Christian, but we obtained that witness as being righteous because we believe in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that takes away our sin. And it's not by the works of our hands and the things that we do that we try to prove to people that we're Christian, but we tell people and we understand that they will see Christ living in us, and we will obtain that witness also that that we are righteous, or that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way we can obtain righteousness is through the shed blood. And the only way we can have righteousness given to us, it has to be pronounced upon us. You're righteous. And the only one that can do that is God. I can't tell you you're righteous or saved. You can't tell me that I'm saved. But I'll tell you what God can tell us. The Lord can give us that message. And so we are pronounced as righteous through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He obtained this witness, and God testified that he was righteous. Let's read that verse again there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Notice those next two words. God testifying. It is God that testified that Abel was righteous. You know who testifies that we're righteous? It's God. It's the Lord. He is the one that gives us righteousness, and we have obtained that. We have been declared as righteous, and we have a testimony, and God gives us a testimony. Abel knew his offering was acceptable. Abel knew that God was going to accept his offering because he had done what the Lord said. He had done what instructions had been given to him. And I believe when we come to a place of knowledge of the Lord, we believe God will save us. If we don't believe that, he'll not save us. If we come to a point that we believe God will do just exactly what he said he would do, and we will obtain, we will be declared as righteous in the sight of God. God will have testimony of us. God will testify of us that we are saved, that we belong unto him. God didn't leave Abel in the dark to wander around and just wonder if he was okay. I believe he knew he was righteous. I believe God testified of that. God gave him the message and gave him the understanding that his offering and his sacrifice was acceptable unto God. And therefore, he obtained a witness and a testimony that the Lord had blessed him. Notice in Genesis chapter 4, where we read, let's look on down in verse number 6. We read through verse 5. In verse number 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, or why are you angry? And why is thy countenance fallen? Now, that's why I say Cain knew what he's supposed to do. Why would he be surprised that God wouldn't accept his offering? Because he knew it had to be a certain way. And so when the Lord rejects his offering and Cain's countenance is fallen and He's angry. God says, now why are you angry and why is your countenance fallen? Because you knew the truth. Verse number 7, if thou doest well, I believe God gave him another opportunity. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? What was the Lord saying here? What was God saying here to Cain? If thou doest well, your offering will be accepted. Is he saying go out and get some more fruit of the tilled ground? If thou doest well, your offering will be accepted. What was God telling you? If you go do it right, if you go and have an offering of blood sacrifice, then you're going to be doing well. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. If you don't do it right, if you don't do well, sin's going to be on your doorstep. If you don't do what God says, then there's sin in the camp. But now, Cain, why are you angry? You knew what to do. Why is your countenance? Why are you sad-faced? Why are you down in the dust? Because you knew what was going to happen. Now, if you'll do well, your offering will be accepted. If you go do what Abel did, and that just probably made him more angry all along. Sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, I don't know how much time has passed here. Possibly days, months. And that's why I said a while ago that this that Cain did, or maybe I mentioned this morning, what Cain did was premeditated. He didn't do it in a fit of anger. He was angry here in verse number 4, and God dealt with him in verse number 6 and 7. But now in verse number 8, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass. That means some time has gone by. That as they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. He shed his blood. And verse number 4 of Hebrews chapter 11 says, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. God says later on, he says, Cain, what have you done? The blood of thy brother crieth to me from the ground. Here we find that Abel has, and Cain, they go into the field, that Cain rose up against him and fought against him, and I believe had it all planned out, I'm going to destroy this thing of righteousness. You know, the devil's always tried to destroy the righteous. So Cain rose up against his brother. Opposition, persecution came. We dealt with this a little bit last Wednesday. Sometimes persecution comes from the least expected place. Sometimes it comes from the person closest to you. Sometimes it comes from the religious crowd. And Cain here represented a religion without blood. And he goes through the motions of making an offering. He had a ritual of worship, but down deep in his heart, he knew that he was not right. And when God accepted Abel's offering, he could not stand it. The severity of Abel's persecution was that Cain rose up against him and killed him. Why did he kill him? We looked at that. He killed him because Cain was of the wicked one, according to 1 John, as in our Sunday school this morning. Cain was of that wicked one, but Abel was righteous. That's why he killed him. And so we find that he goes through the motions, and verse number 8, he gets him in the field, and they're alone, and it's just the two of them, and he kills his own brother. Now again, in my mind of imagination, I can sort of imagine that Cain said, you want a blood sacrifice? I'll give you a blood sacrifice. You will be the sacrifice. His wickedness was so great upon him, and the wicked one was so strong in him that he determined he was going to destroy his own brother, and that blood would be shed. Persecution is not a casual thing. It's very real. If you don't think so, then you go to some of these third world countries. You go to a Muslim country. I had in the bulletin this morning where some missionaries had been killed in China? I think it was. You can read everywhere of persecution. It's not a casual thing. It's real. You can read about the martyrs down through the years. The cruelty of Christians has been pronounced and given time and time again of many communist countries. And just on a side note, I think it's a very shameful thing that this week in New York City that they lit the Empire State Building up in red to commemorate the 60th anniversary of communist China. That's terrible. A lot of money. Money talks. And money can buy a lot of things. And that regime of communism has destroyed countless thousands and millions of people that were Christians. Christianity was vibrant in China before it went communistic, and they tried to stamp it out and almost did, but it's still very strong in China. Where there's, where there's persecution, there is blessing. And the Christian influence in China is very active and well tonight, even under a terribly communistic regime. So opposition is not something new, and persecution is not something new. It's not something casual. The Muslims around the world, they could care less. We're infidels, and if they kill us, they have another star in their crown. When we embrace faith, we provoke the unbelievers to oppose us. When we have faith, we invoke the terrible actions of the wicked one against us. The venom that sometimes hides under the customs of society, but when it's given opportunity, it flares up, and with bloody hands they wait like Cain did to destroy their brother. As I've said so many times, it would happen in America if it could happen. And who knows, it may happen. Because human nature and demonic forces and the will of Satan has not changed. He wants to destroy the child of God. And so when we read these examples, we understand they're heroes. They are elders that obtained a good report because they live for God. By that faith, he being dead, yet speaketh. Why, it's been 6,000-7,000 years ago at least since this incident happened, and Abel still speaks. Abel's voice is still crying. Abel's voice is still heard. He being dead, yet speaketh. Genesis chapter number 4 and verse 10. Abel has been killed now in verse number 8. In verse number 9, the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" And he said, "Here's his lie, I know not." Cain's always a liar. Cain's a murderer. Cain's a thief. Cain is a blood denier. "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Verse number 10. And he said, speaking of God, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." That's the first time the word "crieth" is used, or "cry" is used in the Bible. And brother, I tell you, from that moment on, there's been a lot of tears. Been a lot of crying. Been a lot of blood shed. The message of Abel is redemption. Salvation is by grace. It is reproach Cain slew him. God judged Cain. Retribution, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth to me from the ground. And I wrote down here the word crieth means to shout. It means to complain loudly. It's a call for help. That's the connotation of the original word there. It's to cry out for help. And it's a crying that goes on. And God says, Cain, I hear your brother's blood crying to me. It wasn't some little subtle cry. It was a cry for help. It was a cry and a plead and a shouting that Cain has done the unthinkable. He has killed his own brother. Cain probably thought he could conceal it, but the blood cried. Cain thought he'd keep it quiet, but God said, I hear your brother's blood crying to me. What have you done? And of course, we could go on in chapter 4 of Genesis and see the result of Cain's action, but that's not the subject matter tonight. The subject is, by faith, Abel obtained a good testimony. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. The reason it was excellent is because it was a blood sacrifice. The reason God accepted it is because Abel did what he was supposed to do. He offered a sacrifice of living, not something out of the ground. A lot of folks tonight, they try to get to heaven by their own works. That's just something out of the ground, and God will not accept it. God will reject it. But God, time and time again, says, if you will do what's right, you know your offering will be acceptable. But if not, sin lieth at the door. If we do what God says, we obtain a good report. We are saved. We're Christian. If we do not do that, then sin will take us to the very depths of hell because we reject the written, known Word of God and the salvation that is offered and the salvation that is given to those who will believe. If we accept it, we have a good report. God gives us a good testimony. If we reject it, sin lieth at the door. And sin will bring us to the depths of hell for time and eternity. So this first elder, this first hero of Hebrews chapter 11 is the man by the name of Abel. Only one verse in Hebrews chapter 11. But the very first one that is mentioned pictures our salvation that we have through the blood of the sacrifice. Thank God Jesus died for us. Gave himself that we might have life. Next time we'll see Enoch, and there's two verses given to him, a few things in Genesis, and Enoch pictures another thing concerning the report or the testimony that we receive from the Lord. May God help us to take these things, apply them to our heart, and to realize that we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. That's the witness, that's the testimony. From Genesis to Revelation, salvation is by grace through faith in the shed blood of the sacrifice.